Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP2. It's the Deuce, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Paul Weiner Jr., Jim Osarski, your Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com, yeah. And the Cincinnati Inquirer. How are we doing?
Good.
Buffalo week.
It's a Buffalo week.
It is. The Bills are coming into town, and we did the road trip BBP.
Yeah.
On the way down, so it's like popular. It's different. That was almost solely reactive,
right?
To Browns, and there was lots of stuff there. So there's been a gap for people, and I feel bad. Like I feel they're just lost in the darkness, needing us,
yeah,
yearning for us, crying for us into the night.
Yearning?
I don't know.
Do you yearn?
I've yearned. Have you yearned?
I don't know if I've yearned.
I've yearned. You know when I yearn most? When my favorite podcast has a little bit bigger gap in the middle than it normally does. So I think people were happy to see it there Monday morning, but then also it's a long way to Thursday.
Right.
So we're here for you now. Bengals, Bills, Sunday, 1 o'clock at Paul Brown Stadium. Not burnt down since the Bengals beat the Browns last week, but still with plenty of issues that fans will be complaining about during the tailgates on the way in.
Yeah.
Let's get to those. Hey, the offensive line's still bad.
Yeah.
But they're trying to find ways to work around it, and they're trying to find solutions. Wednesday's press conference, or was it Monday? It was Monday. One of these press conferences all blurs together at this point. I sort of asked Marvin Lewis, like, is with all the rotating that's happening, I mean, everybody played. You've had different guys up and down, and you know, they're all rotating. Are you just asking someone to take this? Because, you know, you've got Andre Smith now sort of starting at left tackle, but rotating over and playing some right, and Fisher's in, and then Redmond was playing along with T.J. Johnson, trying to get a look at him, and Paul Alexander's like, and now Trey Hopkins is coming back, so maybe you're going to see if he can be the answer, but he wasn't very good early on either.
Right.
Said Marvin Sorda, are you just begging someone to take these spots and find some continuity in on a day that he was kind of happily answering every question, it sort of shut down. Like, it is what it is. We are where we are. Insert cliche here.
He needed a
and
back
so
engine.
Forth.
It had been a week.
It had been a few days. It had been a little bit since he really backhanded me.
Yeah. It's interesting, Paul. And, you know, I don't think all of those guys are necessarily happy about it. Because if there's one thing you don't want shuffling in and out, it's on the O-line. I mean, I know Paul Gunther seems to wonder, why don't you rotate O-linemen like you do D-linemen?
Yeah.
But it's just not a – I don't think it's ideal for any of them, maybe other than Andre Smith, you know, because he gets to, as Paul Alexander, get paid a lot of money to play essentially a full game but not really, like also get a breather in there. I mean, it kind
of – And not really have the responsibility of saying he's coming in as the savior. He's like the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny what's happened with Andre Smith, who went from, like, the liability to the guy. He looks like Anthony Munoz compared to the other two.
Right.
Because he's not completely god-awful. He's got some experience. He's come in and provided a little bit of stability. But now you're like, well, there's only one Andre Smith. You need two of them because, sure, in a way, he had both been bad.
Yeah, we didn't hear the pining for Andre Smith when he was allowed to walk away to go to Minnesota two years ago.
No, can't get out of here fast enough.
Right.
So, and now it's please come back.
Right.
In Andre's defense, he is considering what he's been asked to do, to play both right and left and play left for the first time.
Right.
As a pro, I think he's been pretty good at it, and I think the coaches have said that with the fact that he started
right.
and played majority of the snaps.
Right.
It was, I believe, 82 for Jake, 70 for Andre, and 48%. For Obwehi.
Right.
So we're seeing Obwehi gradually phased out. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what happened last year.
Yeah, the leash was a lot shorter. I mean, that was one of the questions we talked about was how, and I was on that four game, like, oh, you got to give a quarter of a season. But I think once the offensive coordinator was fired, we all realized, okay, this whole thing is different now.
Yep.
And obviously that accelerated that. Even with the running back situation, people still mad Jeremy Hill starts, but.
Doesn't play early at all.
Yeah.
Pretty much almost the only snaps he gets are the first drive.
Right.
But people are still like, why is he starting?
Right.
It's pretty clear that Mixon is the guy now at this point. But that's what you wrote about this week, and I think is going to be important for this team. It's if you're discussing what the next step is for the Bengals offense, they sort of kind of established themselves with the quick passing game and have gotten that going. So it's like, well, what's next? What comes next after that? Well, you want to start hitting more deep balls. You want to do that. You want to start getting this running game going. The running game has been just bad news. It's been bad news. They are getting hit in the backfield. And you can make all your excuses about loading the box you want. Like, sometimes you just got to be able to run the ball. They just haven't been able to do that. You wrote a lot about it this week. You talked to pretty much all the parties involved. What's the biggest takeaway that you had from your story this week about where this running game is at and why it's failing?
Yeah, a couple things. So, one, it goes back to how we started this, was continuity issue. I mean, Clint Bowling and Russell Bodine, I went to those two because they're the only ones who are playing every snap. And they're like, whatever's going on at the tackles isn't ideal. You know, right guard, that's been more of an injury rotation, but still a rotation. Not ideal, and it does kind of mess with us a little bit in terms of being familiar. And then also Clint Bowling at the very start is kind of like, well, you can't fix everything in one shot. And CJ Uzama even mentioned this too, since he's been worked in as a lead back in some I formation and some of that stuff that we thought Ryan Hugh might be doing. Where he's like, yeah, you know, we kind of had to do A and B, and this is kind of C and D. So, and the other thing, too, is that this isn't going to be a running team. I think they just want more effectiveness. I think Joe Mixon has 12 of the team's 14 rushes for negative yards dating back to week one. So while the coaches like to say, oh, a couple negative rushes against Cleveland, no, there's 14 over 4 weeks. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things, Paul, where it was score a touchdown, fix Andy Dalton, and then now let's find out what we do well in the running game. So that was kind of the biggest takeaway from those guys was, yeah, we know it's a problem, but there were some more pressing concerns the first 14 days of Bill Lazor's tenure.
And you were talking about it, I think, just around the media room this week, and it was, you know, these guys haven't been a running team for a long time. So to think that that's what their, you know, attitude is going to be, or their anything near their identity is going to be, is wrong. It's just when they do run it, it needs to be effective. And we've seen that in spurts from Gio Bernard, who's had some success. But a lot of that, and maybe that's something that this team needs to look at more, is playing in passing game, running in passing game formations and passing game spots.
Right.
Whether you're talking about a spread shotgun or whatever you're talking about, when they lined it up where it's pretty clear they're running it, it's turned into a disaster.
Right.
Whether in an I form or whatever it is, and that's been a lot of Joe Mixon. And so when you're pinpointing, it's easy to point the finger at him, but more than anybody in the league, literally Pro Football Focus said more than anybody in the league, he's had the least amount of space as far as fewest yards before contact
right.
than anybody. And, you know, when you've, I mean, there was one play, I must have replayed it 45 times. It was in the fourth quarter where it's a pitch out to the right, and Jake Fisher just gets completely obliterated and loses all technique, where at one point it looked like he was trying to carry the defender that had beaten him like a Santa sack and just running the wrong direction right into Joe Mixon. I mean, it's
yeah, you don't want that when the pitch is 5 yards deep.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
yeah.
awful. And yeah, they can get by without it, I think. They just need to be a little more creative
right.
and maybe more extensions of the running game and the passing game. Like we've talked
right.
a lot about, whether you're talking about RPOs or whether you're talking about the screen game or the draw game, stuff that we've seen Gio be successful with, perhaps they need to be doing more than that. And maybe we will see more of that against the Bills, who are, you know, a tough team to go against. Obviously,
yeah.
their front seven is spectacular.
And there's no better way to kind of neutral. And we talked about this a week ago with best way to take away an offensive line or D-line is, as you said, the evolution of the quick passing game. I think that's part of it. You get them moving side to side. And I know they've tried that. Like we've just mentioned, the toss and some of the traps and things. And that hasn't really worked very well because guys are just totally getting blown off the spot. So I think that's why this is taking a little longer. And Bill Lazor said it Wednesday, Paul, where he's like, well, it's finding exactly what we're doing already that we're okay at. Or maybe, and it's having an open mind to kind of scrapping some of it and retooling to better suit what they can do. I hesitate to say do well.
I don't know what they can
do. Exactly. So I honestly, I think this is not, I mean, we could be surprised. Maybe they figure it out in this week and it's amazing. I doubt that. So maybe this is just something post buy.
Yeah.
That they're going to have to install and feel good about.
Yep. Find a way to win this week and then use
right.
the bye to maybe try to get more into
right.
a retooling. Let's get into your favorite topic, and that's training room buddies. Tyler Eifert and John Ross, because, you know, everybody wants to know what's going on there.
Right.
When are they going to be back, if ever? And then they want to call them all kinds of names and stuff like that. So I wrote about Tyler Eifert's situation in BX on Sunday. If you haven't read it, please do, because I'm not going to go fully into all of that here. It's online. BX, Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
Can't miss it. Look, we don't know how long this is going to be. We know that he's not doing anything right now. We know that he has a back issue. We know it's not the same issue that
yeah.
he had surgery on, but it's still a back issue. I mean, there's multiple spots in your back. So, you know, if I hurt, when I had my back surgery was on L4, L5. Well, if I go hurt L1,
right,
it's not the same one, but it's still
right
the back, and still that's a problem,
yeah.
right? I don't know Tyler, what exactly
right
it is. I just know it's not the one he had surgery on. I think everyone's kind of sitting around waiting to just see how it heals. And you just don't know with the back and how much pain he's willing to go out there and play with.
Right.
I think that's going to be a part of it.
Yeah, because it's one thing to be in pain and manage pain during your practice week. That's a whole other thing to try to go play with it and take a bunch of shots. Not needle shots, but shots from, you know, Mike Mitchell
yes.
in your back.
Yeah,
Or your head. So, yeah, and when people, and it's kind of the same thing with John Ross there, Paul. No one knows. So, you know, I know he doesn't like the word tweaked, you know, in terms of the left knee. But to me, I think that's the only accurate way to describe it, because nobody is saying.
Do we prefer aggravated?
Right.
I mean.
So it's, and the reason we go with that, people are like, what does that mean? Well, we don't know. Because, A, they don't have to tell us. And usually all this stuff sort of leaks out, and clearly the people who do leaking are not interested in doing that right now. So all we know is something is wrong in that left knee. Hurt it in Indy. Came back what we all thought slightly ahead of schedule against Houston. Placed 5 snaps. We're told he left practice early against Packers week, but
it was the Wednesday practice.
The Wednesday practice. I mean, Do we know? I mean, that's one of those gray areas.
It was Wednesday practice. Came in because he wasn't on the injury report because there was nothing noticed on Wednesday. Thursday came in and there was an issue. That the next day, you know, anybody that has something where you wait the next day and there's swelling or whatever it is, came in the next day and there was an issue and he hasn't been back since. So the concern was we haven't even seen him on the rehab field, not even running on the side field until this week on Wednesday. He was out there. However, he wasn't fully participating. It was CJ Uzomah, Jordan Evans,
Mason Schreck,
Jeff Driscoll are out there and they're doing cutting drills. John Ross was not doing those.
No.
He was doing straight line, almost warm-up type of stuff, and then he watched the rest of it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the small step.
Yeah.
But that signal's still pretty far off.
Yeah, if you can't change direction.
Yeah, if they're not comfortable with you changing direction right now, they're not going to be comfortable with you playing in 2 weeks.
No, and that's the thing. And here's the thing for people to understand about the bye week. Like, it is a literal bye week. They'll practice Monday, Tuesday. They'll practice Tuesday.
Yeah, then they'll have, like, a little half day on Wednesday.
Not really – and then they're off. I mean, so, you know, I mean, those guys might stick around and do rehab and whatnot. But odds are, you know, unless he's doing sudden change of direction stuff in the next 6 days, which would seem strange to me that happens, or if Tyler Eifert magically appears in the next 6 days, 7 days, I mean, to me, that you're not in a good spot for Pittsburgh either for these guys.
No, I don't think so. I think you're still pretty far off.
And then in terms of timeline, here's the interesting thing, and maybe what's frustrating for Bengals fans. It's the whole I don't know thing, but they have to feel confident it's not an 8-week injury.
Or they would have put them on IR.
And you're just, and now, like, if it drifts into that period, then you look back and you're like, what? Why didn't they put them on IR?
Right.
Because now you're carrying two dudes who haven't played the entire year, essentially, at that point, mm-hmm. When you could have found, you know, Nick Mangold. You know what I mean?
No, not Mangold guy.
Don't worry. He still hurt two people, by the way. So it's just, you know, I think that's a frustrating thing is because people are so used to leaks.
Yeah.
And what's wrong and how long. And that, I mean, that stuff has all been shut down with these guys.
It has. I mean, that's all we know is what we can tell you that we see, and we don't see Tyler Eifert, and we do see John Ross not doing a whole lot, and that's where it's at. So,
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't go expecting them back anytime in the very near future. We'll keep you updated as well. You know, we love giving you all our Tyler Eifert, John Ross injury updates. So, we'll just keep tuning in here and reading on Cincinnati.com. We have all your coverage on that. Sort of writing, we're going to get to Optimistic Bobby and our predictions here in a minute. I'm going to give a quick preview. Game Day Center this week is on Carl Lawson, who has his teeth back.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him. Next day, he had the originals, got them put back on. Science. So he's all better now. But I think people realize that Carl Lawson has been very good, right? Like, you know, you can't watch and not see that. I don't think people realize how good he's actually been when you compare him to others anywhere near his situation. Mm-hmm. I asked our good friends over at Pro Football Focus to run some of the numbers on recent history of rookie edge rushers, just how they've done. You know, pass rush productivity is a stat, and that's one that Marvin Lewis and the people here really like because sacks are stupid, as we've been told. They don't matter. It's all about pressures. It's about getting guys off their spot. It's about QB hits and hurries and timing and all that stuff.
Right, real quick. They don't matter when you don't get them.
Yeah, right.
Sorry,
when you're
ahead.
Getting them, pointing out how many sacks they had.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sacks are important, but it's more about pressure is where I'm going with this. So pass rush productivity measures sacks, hits, or hurries. How many times that you go and you rush the passer do you get one of those three? Okay. Over rookies since 2012, so this is the sixth season under this span that we look. Rookies, edge rushers. The highest percentage for a season by anyone was Joey Bosa last year, 12.9%. You know what Carl Lawson has done so far? 16.9%.
Wow, I was going to go like 13.9. That was
16.9%. Wow. Now, it was helped by the debacle that was the Green Bay tackle situation.
Right.
But, you know, Paul Gunther called him great against Joe Thomas this past week. And he knocked his teeth out on the quarterback.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you can judge how that went as well. I mean, Cleveland was chipping to help Joe Thomas with running backs against a rookie.
Yeah, and Joe Thomas got away with some old man holds, too.
Some old man holds. You're right. This is a game changer for this defense. This is what we've talked about that can – it sets you apart.
Yeah.
When you have this kind of a pass rush, you're – I mean, we're talking about – you know who else is on that list? I mean, guys like Khalil Mack, Von Miller, you name it. I mean, Daniel Hunter, guys that have had really – real. I mean – Khalil Mack was an MVP conversation.
Right.
I mean, we're talking – Joey Bosa was rookie of the year type stuff. So, I mean, when you have that coming next to two Pro Bowlers and another guy who seems rejuvenated by a move inside in Michael Johnson plus their rotation stuff, you have a pass rush that can dominate. And that, in this league, changes everything. The problem the Bengals have had the last few years is nothing was coming off the other side.
No, I know, yeah. It was.
And that was the biggest problem. Now, their teams are chipping and leaving Carlos Dunlap one-on-one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Paul, is Carlos has got to just be, and I know he is because he has said it, he is just like flogging himself.
Yeah.
Because he's had at least three, a sack a game that I can remember him having the QB literally in his arms, and the guy gets away.
Yeah.
I mean, he could already be halfway to double digits.
Exactly.
If he, you know.
And the question is, how does a guy with that skill set, who can show up in the league and look like this, how was this guy a fourth-round pick?
Yeah.
And that's not saying the Bengals are smarter than everyone, because they passed on him three times, including for another defensive lineman in front of him in Jordan Willis. How does that – why is that? So I sort of dug around and talked to a bunch of scouts and, you know, people like that and Bengals coaches and their ideas and players, and everybody has their opinions. And I think the whole thought was there was an injury history there and short arms, right? Paul Gunther said, you know, the reason Geno Atkins went in the fourth round was he wasn't the perfect prototypical defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Right. But now we're seeing this run on shorter leverage, Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins types. Oh, these guys can be really good in there because the leverage they can get.
Right.
You start a trend. Now, Carl Lawson, short arms, 31 and a half, which is really short. I mean, comparatively. Miles Garrett, I think, was 35 and three-fourths.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter when you have power and when you have speed and when you have moves.
Yeah.
He's proving it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long your arms are. He talked about it, and you'll read it in the story. The game... the speed, pat, and the passing and the spread game that is out there now, and the bad offensive line play, is perfect for guys like this.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe this is the next evolution of it. And if you're trying to connect how a fourth round guy, Geno Atkins, Carl Lawson, the Bengals are going to say it's because people over evaluated prototypical size, speed, blah blah blah, and didn't watch enough of the tape. The tape told you different. And that's what they said. So anyway, I talked to Michael Johnson about it, and it was just sort of about how a guy can come in and when they knew it and how much he tried to help Carl Lawson. And I just think Michael was great on it. So here's a little bit of Michael Johnson talking about Carl Lawson.
How have you tried to help Carl since he's gotten here? And what what's made him so good, do you think? Is it just his, like, raw athleticism, or?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a great pass rusher, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He really just let him do his thing.
Yeah.
He studies the game. He asks questions. Like, you know, he's got all the physical tools.
Yeah.
So, like, really just let him do his thing. Like, it really ain't.
Yeah.
You ain't really got to do a whole lot.
Is that rare or not for a young guy to come in and kind of be able to, you can just kind of let him go?
A cat with his type of skill set, you don't want to overload him and have him overthinking.
Yeah.
A lot of times people be trying to overtalk people.
Yeah.
Do all that. You don't want to do that with somebody like that. You just want to just let his natural abilities, you know, go.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that I say I really talk to him about outside of little stuff here and there is just how to take care of your body.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's huge on this level.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, he's very studious of the game, very inquisitive.
Good luck to your brother.
I'm just, you know,
thank you. I'll tell you, said something.
You
know,
yeah.
Little stuff.
Yeah.
And, so good. He's a good rookie, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, he work hard. Like, and just he wants to do it right. And he wants to win and be great.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, when you came in, you made a pretty quick impact too. I mean, how hard is that to come in right away and go against guys, you know, whether Trent Williams or Joe Thomas or whoever, and have an effect as a young guy, because those guys are so savvy and seen it all. Is that how impressive is it more that he's made that impact immediately? You know, or is that just, hey, when a guy's that good, he's that good, it doesn't really matter?
Well, they say he would have been a first-round pick.
Yeah.
If he went for all them injuries, so I mean,
yeah.
That was what you expect. We saw him in the spring. Mm-hmm. And put the pants on, the same thing. So he's a great player, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I spoke on this earlier, but he's got all the tools.
Yeah.
Like, you know, great pad level. Very twitchy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that explosion off the edges. It's impressive.
All right, so the Bengals are in a good place. Carl Lawson, check that story out. It'll be in the game day section, which is Sunday's newspaper, and also it'll be up online on Friday, so you can read all about the evolution and breakout of Carl Lawson. All right, let's get to Optimistic Bobby, shall we? He's got questions. It's a first time talking to him coming off of a victory.
That is true.
So you can only imagine what we're about to get. Here it comes. All right, so here's 50 West Brewing Company owner, Bobby Slattery.
All right, it is again time to chat with Optimistic Bobby, 50 West owner Bobby Slattery. And I'm excited about this one because this is the first time we talk with Optimistic Bobby after a win. So I can only imagine what we're going to hear. So how are we doing? Dude, saving that one up.
Sound like I'm doing well, Paul? Does this sound like I'm doing well?
Is that pretty much what's been going on around the production works? You just running around and checking how everything echoes in the building?
Outside of keeping everyone up to speed on my current number of Twitter followers at all moments, yes.
Have we hit 500 yet? Have we hit 500?
No. You know what? And somebody called me out on it online. And it's well deserved. You know, Paul, I need to get more involved during the week. I've been kind of reserving this thing for, you know, a Sunday. I'm kind of a Sunday Twitter guy. I really got to step up my game. So I appreciate the call out. I'm going to focus on it. We got a lot of things going on at 50 West, but that doesn't mean that I can't spend some time working on my personal goal of gaining fame and popularity through Twitter.
This is the price of fame, though. You understand this? Is that once they build you up, they're ready to start tearing you down and criticizing your methods. This is what happens, okay? You just need to take this on, and you're right. You did a good job of taking constructive criticism, but understand it's only going to get harder. The haters are only going to grow. Haters are going to hate.
I can't imagine the pressure that you deal with every day on Twitter. With so many questions out there, so many things that you have to answer, and so many followers that you have to answer too. So, you know what? It still doesn't scare me away. I mean, I'm gonna set my goals high, and I think that this week is actually, this is my real opportunity. I think I've never been on TV at a sporting event in my life, but if I think this could be the week, and if it happens, I think Laser Cats explodes and becomes a becomes something that's in the conversation nationally.
So we've been talking up, you know, your Laser Cats. Does this mean you're bringing some props to the stadium on Sunday? Is this what we're to believe?
There will be props at the stadium. That's right. I will come dressed as the Laser Cats. You know, obviously a Bengals version. I've got my buddy coming with me, and anything short of getting on television is actually going to be pretty sad.
Do we need to talk to people that work the security gates about allowing lasers in? Like, is that going to be an issue?
They're not. As long as they're okay with little doll Bengal cats, I think we can. You know, maybe we talk to the TV guys about getting lasers to shoot out of their eyes with some Photoshop.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I want to make sure that everything's on the up and up. Okay.
Everything's on the up and up.
So what?
You want my optimistic take? Optimistic takes. I'm going to give you some few optimistic takes, and then we'll get to the question.
Yeah, right.
First optimistic take. I don't know if everyone's aware, but starting 0-3, we had a 2.9% chance of making the playoffs. The mathematicians crunched the numbers here, and we now have a 14.5% chance of making the playoffs at 1-3.
Yeah. So moving in the right direction.
If you're not optimistic about that, I don't know what you are. Will Jackson got a lot of time in there. Obviously, an optimistic Bobby fan favorite. I was excited to see him out there, and I can go on and on. I mean, there were a lot of good things that happened in that game.
Yeah.
As far as disappointment, I was really disappointed that you and Jim, your optimistic take from last week, that their schedule, everyone they play is bad. I don't really know if that's the optimistic way to view the season. I was
sure
thinking maybe like, hey, Vontaze Burfict's coming back, or what can this offense be when John Ross gets out there? Instead, you just said that they have they don't really play anybody good this year. So I'm not really sure on that one.
I don't understand what the problem is. I mean, it's true though. I mean, that's a good thing. You want to have, you know, some ease on your schedule while you get things together. That's all.
I agree. Hey, if I were going to start a season 0-3, I'd want our schedule to follow out. So I guess we can look at that as a positive. I was hoping it was going to be like maybe I saw something in practice this week with the offensive line that would lead you to believe that that things are getting better.
Do you want me to lie to you?
It is what it is.
Do you want me to lie to you?
Yeah, no, you're right. This is the BBC.
We keep it real here.
We keep it very real. So here my question for this week is, obviously you guys were both very concerned that following a loss, that stadium was going to be burned to the ground. So
Yes. Let's
think on the optimistic side here. And what are you guys most excited about to be able to, you know, since the stadium still exists, what are you looking forward to most this week at Paul Brown Stadium
that you wouldn't have
otherwise been able to look forward to had the people of Cincinnati burnt their very expensive taxpayer-funded stadium to the ground?
Okay. Good to know. All right. Excellent question. So we're going to say what we're excited about since the stadium has been left standing and not a pile of rubble that needs to be cleaned up, which would cost a lot of money as well. A lot of taxpayer money, so it was probably for the best. All right, I like it. What's going on at 50 West? What are we getting ready for?
Oh, God, our brewers are just making some fantastic small batch beers. They've been having fun back there. I don't know if we brought Scott LaFollette on from Blank Slate and Chris Sigmund on. He was over at Mount Carmel. Anyways, they've been getting real fun back in the brewery, and our tap lineup's probably better than it's ever been, so. If you get a chance, you're not going to the game on Sunday dressing up as a Laser Cat, you know, head on down to 50 West and get a chance to experience this great variety of beer we have in the tap room right now.
Awesome. Sounds great, Bobby. Well, I look forward to it. I will be looking for you on the video board, and I will try to direct the scoreboard people over to your section because it's time. It's time. The Bengals need you.
That was some optimistic stuff. Hot takes. But so a question for us is, now that the stadium isn't burnt down and taxpayers aren't having to pay for the cleanup, what are we most looking forward to at the stadium on Sunday? But the state, what are we looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bobby, but it has nothing to do with the Bengals. I mean, Bills Mafia's rolling in.
Bills Mafia. Yeah.
So
if there was no stadium, Bills Mafia wouldn't have anywhere to go.
Well, actually, that's probably a fan base that would show up for the ashes and the rubble.
They would love the rubble. They're like, you're used to rubble.
So in terms of if you leave it open to just what am I looking forward to about Paul Brown Stadium, it's the road fan base. I mean, I mean they were here a year ago. We were there 2 years ago. I mean, it's a sideshow of epic proportions. And put it this way, Paul, I've got buddies from Chicago rolling in this weekend because of Bills Mafia. Like, they want to come see Bills Mafia in a parking lot. And that wouldn't be there if there was no Paul Brown Stadium. So I'm looking forward to visiting team fans.
Pinto Ron. You got to go watch the documentary about Bills Mafia that's out there. They did on Barstool. And they do a whole piece on Pinto Ron, who's incredible. And he supposedly goes to every single road game, too. So if you see anybody getting covered in chili and mustard and ketchup and all of a sudden before every game, that's Pinto Ron.
Yeah, sorry, Bobby. That's it.
That's okay.
Help you out.
So you're liking you are excited to see the opposing fans.
Yes.
There may be plenty of good seats available for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm going to kick it back to Bobby. I'm looking forward to seeing Bobby on the big screen with his Laser Cats. And I'm hoping that they don't get confiscated.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you're allowed to bring fluffy, like, cat stuffed animals into a game. Is that on the list?
I don't know.
Like, a picture of a fluffy stuffed animal is on the list. Like, you can't do that because maybe you could have, like, something inside of it.
Haven't we I thought we've seen things.
Like, I feel like we've seen things.
You know what I mean? I feel like we have, but
I'm worried
maybe
about it getting confiscated.
It could get confiscated. I wouldn't go.
I think security guys are going to be questioning it.
Yeah.
But I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, and maybe don't go more than the dollar store, Bobby, in case.
Yeah, don't let it be one of the cats that you cherish from your childhood.
Right. Yeah.
Get the cheap one. And then we need the scoreboard guys to get the visual effects shooting the lasers out of their eyes. So we'll get with them on that. But I'm looking forward to seeing his appearance on the big screen.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that, Laser Cats. All right, so good stuff. Okay, let's get to prediction time. There is a cavernous difference between 1-4 and 2-3 for this team. With what's happened through these first 4 weeks, you just have to have this one. The Bills are better than we probably thought they would be. You still think they stink.
Yeah.
But they're better than we thought they would be.
I definitely thought this would be a 1-3 squad rolling in here.
They're not. They're 3-1. They're coming off wins over Denver and at Atlanta. And,
yep.
And they're,
respect.
They've got momentum and confidence and all those things that people seem to care about. They got it. You got it. This at a certain point in the NFL, you got to go win some tilts.
Yeah.
And this team has put themselves in a spot where it needs to happen now.
Yeah.
This is a huge week around here. If you're 1-4 and then Pittsburgh, suddenly now you're in must wins in Pittsburgh, and even then you're still 2-4.
Yeah.
It's just a mess. Yeah. You got to keep yourself in this thing.
Yeah.
And so it has to happen here on Sunday against Buffalo. So. It's a big one to predict. For that fact, what do you got?
I'm going to roll kind of – this is going to remind fans a lot of Thursday night football, which means, 45,000 will watch about 20 points getting scored. So
does that sound like a good way to spend your Sunday afternoon?
Yeah. I do think that the Bengals win because, again, I always – I tend to defer towards better quarterbacks and better rosters, and the Bengals have both, in my opinion. The Bills are so bad on offense. Like, you think the Bengals were bad on offense for 2 weeks. The Bills have been bad for four. I mean, the raw numbers, look it up, Tyrod Taylor, you're like, oh, wow, like, he's playing well, and that's fine. But, I mean, they don't do anything, and he has no one to throw to.
He just lost his top receiver. He basically has to scramble and run for anything that they get.
He is, yeah. And so, but their defense is very good. Mm-hmm. I mean,
their defense has scored for them.
Yes, and look, I mentioned this in the prediction last week with where I thought the Browns game would be close because I thought the Bengals offense would still give them, and they did. Missed a field goal. Andy picked up a bad Russell fumble. Russell picked up a Jeremy Hill fumble. I mean, the Bills aren't the Browns. If that stuff happens in the first quarter again, this could be a problem.
Yeah.
But anyway, so all that said, I do think it's going to be low scoring. Maybe there's a safety in there. Maybe there's a defensive score in there. 12-10 Bengals. Maybe it's just, you know, 5 field goals and a safety, 6 field goals, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, but I think it's going to be that kind of game where
definitely
people feel the offense, quote unquote, regressed in some way. I don't think that'll be the true case of it. But I do think they win.
You mentioned it being similar to the Thursday Night Football game. I couldn't help myself when I saw the over-under was 39 as a betting trend guy. The Bengals have had haven't had a over-under of 39 or less since Andy Dalton's rookie year finale in 2011. And then it's now happened twice. The Thursday game was 38,
right,
and this one is 39. Similar type of stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's just that because their offense hasn't been expected to do nothing like this for a while.
Right.
But anyway, that's a weird betting nugget for those of you out there. Yeah, the under looks good. I would probably be hitting it as well. I'm saying I think the desperation of the Bengals and coupled with I think the positive steps that they've taken the last few weeks and perhaps a bit of Bills overconfidence.
They're feeling themselves a little bit,
and that's okay. I mean, although they're playing off the fact that they're still underdogs and,
yeah,
and you know, everybody hates us
right
thing, which, you know, tends to unite. But I think you couple the Bengals' progress with their desperation this week and focus, I think, that they've shown the last few weeks. I think they're going to have enough. But this, you know what this comes down to me, is this is the latest step of what have been the knocks on the Bengals since the playoff debacle. So all of last year and through this year, one play away.
Right.
Not making the one last play that right. you need to make. Not making the kick. Not getting the third and one because you slip. All that, this is going to be that game because
it's going to be close.
It's going to be a defensive battle where they're going to have to do that one last thing, the one last stop or the hit the field goal or whatever it is. They've got to finish. I think that they will. I think this team is too good to just disappear out of the race.
Yeah.
And I think they have righted the ship enough that I don't see them disappearing out
right.
of the race. And I do think Buffalo is probably a little overrated at this point, personally.
Yeah.
So
Koshka,
Bullock,
duel at midfield.
Bullock at the gun, 17-16. That's my number. So we'll see. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. I've got William Jackson III was our guest on BTS on Tuesday. Next Tuesday, 7 p.m., Holy Grail Banks. Carlos Dunlap will be our guest. Always great to have Carlos down there, the Pro Bowler. So it'll be a lot of fun. Come on down, get his autograph, talk football, drink some beer, eat some food, get your picture taken with Carlos. He loves it. So it should be a lot of fun. But William was great on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Another good one. We've really had a good string of guys this year. William informing us about how he has horses. I was like, it stopped me. I had to double take, look over. Wait, I just had this vision of William Jackson in like a romance novel riding horses down the beach, you know. Just not what I expected to hear. But anyway, so here is the hot seat, Paul Daugherty and William Jackson III from BTS on Thursday. We'll be back, of course, with BDP after the next week, wrapping up what will happen Sunday, 1 o'clock, Bengals-Bills, Paul Brown Stadium. Still standing. We'll talk to you later.
Beyond the Stripes, presented by JosephAuto.com. We are at the Holy Grail, and you, William Jackson III, are on the hot seat. What'd you say your middle name was?
Terrell.
William Terrell Jackson III. You are on the hot seat for the first time.
Right.
We've had guys in here 4 or 5 times.
Oh, man.
They know the drill. You're just a puppy. And does anybody ever call you Billy?
Never.
Billy Jackson III?
Never. Never.
How about Bill?
Nah.
Really?
Someone said that before, though, but they never called me that.
Is the original William Jackson still with us? Your grandfather?
No,
he is not.
Yeah,
okay.
He was killed.
All right. If there is to be a boy child in your future somewhere along the road, will he be William Jackson the IV?
If my first child is a boy, yes, he will.
Be William Jackson. You got to carry on that family name. All right. Will you insist that he name his first boy William Jackson the V?
That would be great if he did that. Yeah,
be like
great.
That English royalty, right?
Yeah, keep
King
it going.
King George, William Jackson the V. Now, you are from the 5th Ward of Houston, Texas.
Right.
Which is a difficult place.
Oh, yeah. It's a rough place.
What is it like for a young man living in the 5th Ward, growing up, trying to, for lack of a better word, get out of the 5th Ward?
It's hard because around you, you see the bad things that everybody are doing, and you see the guys that have the nicer things, and they selling dope, and they doing these things, and they got the nicer things. It's kind of hard to not to gravitate to that.
The guys who are getting the nicer things sometimes are doing illegal things
right.
to get the nice things.
Right.
I got you. What holds a man back more than anything else?
Getting with the wrong crowd, the wrong group of guys.
Right.
That'll hold you back.
Who held you back?
No one.
All right. I ask you this because your Twitter feed is wonderful. I'm looking for stuff about you. You got all kinds of really good, positive stuff to say on Twitter. I mean, you're not just out there telling people what you had for breakfast, and I'm going to go work out now.
Right.
Nobody really cares. You said, stop letting people and things get you off your game plan and stick to your principles. When you do that, you will see yourself reach success.
Right.
Why don't you talk about that tweet for a second?
That was a tweet I put out to kids that look up to me and that's in those areas. You don't have to be what your dad was. You don't have to be what your grandparents were. If you want to be, say, a basketball player, you do everything in your power to do that. You don't have to do what everybody else are doing.
All right. Well, you started your college career at Trinity Junior College.
Oh, yeah.
It was not the happiest of times for William Jackson III. In fact, I saw a video where your mom said, you called and said, Mom, come get me. And what did she say when you said that?
You can't come home.
But you did, right?
I actually went
home anyway.
I actually did.
And what was her message to you when you got there?
What you going to do now? And I just sit there and I just was looking and I said, you're right. I said, what am I going to do? And the next week, I ended up going back and made the most of it.
And that changed your life?
Changed my life.
Good for you. Another tweet from May of 2016.
Wow.
If you change the way you see things, then the things you see will change.
Right.
Did you go back to Trinity with that attitude?
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, and what did you see?
Just had to think everything in a positive mindset. God put me here for a reason, and obviously it worked out in the end.
Obviously it did. You go to Houston. You're a star there. You're picked by the Bengals number one. Then you tear that pec muscle in camp last summer. Missed the whole season. You tweeted after that, some people think that to be strong is to never feel pain. In reality, the strongest people are the ones who feel it, understand it, and accept it.
All right.
Were you able to do all that stuff?
Oh, yes, sir. Just got to accept it. I mean, it's an obstacle course that everybody go through in life. Don't no one go through life with no pain. And you just have to embrace it and keep it going and stay positive.
I got to read your tweets more often. They're good advice, man. How did missing your rookie year make you a better man and a better football player?
It humbled me in a big way because when I got hurt, it was like, it could be over just like that.
Yeah.
Like, football is not promised. And once I got hurt, it kind of made me step back and be like, whoa, can't take a day for granted. So I every time I go out there, I give it my all.
So that applies to life universally.
Right.
Whether you're playing football or you're doing a day job or whatever you're doing.
Right.
Respect the moment.
Yeah, you got to.
Seize the day.
Right. Every day is not promised.
Here's another one. You like that I'm reading all these tweets?
Oh, it's funny.
This is good stuff because I'm telling you, these are different good tweets. People can actually learn from this stuff. You said, been in a lot of tough situations. I did everything but fold. And then you said, big year for a kid that worked for it all. And at the same time, you also tweeted this. When I play in my first NFL game, I might cry. I come a long way. Did you cry?
Yeah, I actually did.
When? First game this year, Baltimore.
I think it was Baltimore because I don't count preseason. So when Baltimore game come, I actually made it through a hefty kind of season. I kind of went in the back and dropped a few tears because it was a long road that I had to take to get here and a lot of pain and my mother struggling and my dad struggling. So having to stay focused through all that, it just was a blessing to actually go on my first NFL game.
So when did you cry? Before the game?
Before the game in the locker room.
Really?
It was like a lot of emotions running through my body because I was hurt. Then I actually get a chance to actually get on the field and play.
It's a good thing you didn't cry when you were out there.
Oh, no,
I might have messed you up trying to cover somebody.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, good. That's good. You planned that well. You had dinner a few years ago with Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah, yeah.
One, how did you manage that? And two, what did he say that changed you or stuck with you?
Floyd Mayweather, he's kind of like a mentor guy. He's a great guy. He actually flew me out like a couple of days after the combine and was basically telling me just work hard for everything you wanted. And he said he worked hard for everything he's got, even though he's a lot of mentor to a lot of younger guys where he's from. But he was like, man, just keep going and great things will happen for you.
He flew you out.
Right.
From where to where?
Well, I went from Houston to Vegas.
Why did he take an interest in you? Did you know him?
Actually, one of my cousins, he's on the music side of his business.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one of my cousins.
Okay. So you had a connection.
Right.
Why is your Twitter handle Willow?
That's what everybody called me in Houston.
Willow?
Yeah.
Willow?
Yeah, that's just what they call me.
I guess it's better than Billy. Now, I saw some stat because I'm a real big stat guy. You were the fastest runner of the week in the NFL.
Right.
When you picked off Rodgers. You were faster than Tyreek Hill.
Right.
21.52 miles an hour.
Right.
Did you know that?
I mean, in practice, we had them little devices on you where it show you run fast. So I done got higher than that. So
you done
that didn't surprise
than that.
Me.
Are you faster than John Ross?
We compete.
Yeah?
I ain't going to say he just faster than me. You got to show me.
He was up here a few weeks ago. He said in a race that he would beat you like you were a telephone pole.
You got to show me.
Actually, he didn't say that at all. I just made that up.
You got to show me.
You ever heard of Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
Good. How might you cover Jerry Rice?
They say he was a good route runner. They say he went very fast.
No, he wasn't very fast. So I mean, he was a good. You're right.
So they say he was a good route runner. So
what do you do? Bump him at the line? Disrupt him?
Oh, yeah. I'd rather bump and run. That's me. I mean, I can run, and I'd rather just touch him at the line and not give him a free release.
All right. We'll tell Jerry Rice to be happy to give him some tips. Are you cool? William Jackson III?
Am I cool?
Yeah.
I would like to say.
Define cool. What makes you cool? What is cool?
I'm just a cool, laid-back type of guy, man.
Yeah?
I'm just simple.
Simple. Laid-back. Cool. Yeah. Don't get excited.
No, not at all.
What else interests you besides football?
Horses.
What?
Horses. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's it?
Horses.
Horses.
Yeah.
You're a horse guy.
Yeah.
Do you bet?
Oh, no, I haven't bet it. He just grew up into it.
Okay. You have any horses?
Yeah, I have two.
Get out.
Yeah.
What kind of horses?
Standard breeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you plan on doing with those horses?
I just really want to go back home and ride them. It's a popular thing back home, and just to go back home and ride them, that's all I do with them.
Wow. That's cool. I'll bet you nobody knew about that until this moment. Other than people close to you. My guys back there, they didn't know that.
Oh, they did?
They're like, wow.
Wow.
How about that?
I've been saying that since I've been out here.
That's because I'm a great reporter. What is your favorite thing about you?
My favorite thing about me? Oh, man. I have a lot of them.
I bet you do.
I have a lot of them, but the most important thing that I'm tall. Because my parents' them is not very tall. I got it from my uncle, Gene.
Okay.
So I like to say that.
You like, your favorite thing about you is that you're a tall guy.
Yeah, I was small all my life.
What does your mom say that maybe you might need to work on?
She say I might need to work on. See, my mom, she's just supportive of me. So she haven't really said anything that I need to work on.
I mean, you You don't have problems with manners. You sleep too late. Do you make your bed, William, when you're supposed to?
No.
That kind of stuff?
She never told me anything like
that. She never said anything like, you got to do better at this. She just thinks you're perfect.
No one's perfect.
Right.
But she probably stopped fighting with my brothers and sisters.
Stop fighting with your brothers and sisters. Yeah. Everybody does that, William.
Yeah, probably the only thing.
Are you the kind of guy that keeps the hotel soaps? I mean, do you take those, the soaps, the shampoos and stuff? You know what I mean?
I take the lotion.
You take the lotion?
Yeah, I take the lotion.
I might have done that a few times myself. Do you have anything you'd like to ask me?
Woo. So we just were talking about.
Careful now. You're just a rookie. What?
You dyeing your hair.
See, you stole that.
I stole it.
You stole that. Wait, we got it. The truth is that he stole that from Leon Hall. No, I do not. It's all genetics, man. Either you got it or you don't. I happen to have it. And you are off the hot seat. Thank God.
Thank God.
Back in 1 minute with the final segment of Beyond the Stripes presented by JosephAuto.com.
That's funny.